And I invite the rest of you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 9 through 12, which are the last two Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, please stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy, inspired word to us. He is speaking to us, and He says to us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's bow together. Father God Almighty, we pray that you would help us to understand peacemaking so that we might be ready to endure persecution for your glory and for your honor. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Question: who said this? When there is peace among the religions, there will be peace in the world. This is not a multiple choice test, all right? So this is fill in the blank. So write your answer in your mind or on your note sheet. Who said, when there is peace among the religions, there will be peace in the world? I hope you have now noted your answer, because now we're going to move on to question number two. You didn't know that you were going to be getting a test today, did you? Well, here it is, question number two. Who said this? "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." I'll give you a hint. It's not the same person as question number one. It's two different people. Write down your answer in your mind or on your note sheet. Who said, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword"? Now, while you're thinking about question number two, I'll tell you a little bit more of the statement of speaker number two. All right, here's more of the statement, quote, "I've not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Does that additional quote help you know who said it? I'll give you even more of the second speaker's quote. The speaker went on to say this: "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." With the mention of the cross, you probably now know who the speaker is. The speaker is Jesus. Jesus said, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And it's the Dalai Lama who said, "When there's peace among religions, there will be peace in the world." Interesting, isn't it? You can find Jesus' words, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword," in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. So, in Matthew chapter 5, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And then in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, what do you think of those two statements of Jesus? Are they contradictory? Did Jesus change his mind? And what about the Dalai Lama? Is he a peacemaker? What are we to make of all of this? To answer such questions, I'm going to show you from the Bible five truths about peace and persecution. That's my outline today. Five truths about peace and persecution. Truth number one: Jesus came to make peace, with some. Jesus is a peacemaker. Actually, he's the greatest peacemaker. But we need to understand that he came to make peace with some, not with every individual in the whole world. This truth was declared at his birth. In Luke chapter 2, we hear the angels say in celebration of the birth of Jesus, and this will be a sign for you, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When we hear those glorious words said by the angel, we tend to ignore the last words, the last phrase. But that last phrase is really significant, among those with whom he is pleased. Jesus did not come to make universal peace with each and every individual, but he is a peacemaker. But what then about Matthew chapter 10, verse 34? If Jesus is a peacemaker with some, why does he say, I've not come to bring peace but a sword? Well, let me tell you about the context of Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. At the beginning of that chapter, Jesus sends out his 12 disciples to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he sends them out with instructions. In his instructions, he explains that some people will welcome them into their homes. Some people will not. And then Jesus goes on to talk about persecution, but his discussion about persecution does not concern what the disciples would immediately experience. It concerns what they would experience later in their lives. And Jesus' words also concern all disciples. Disciples today, it concerns you and me. Jesus went on to say this, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." That's the context in which Jesus then said, "Do not think I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." When Jesus said that, he was referring to the persecution his disciples would experience. He was referring to how the world would respond to them. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that most people would reject him, shouting out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he knew that his disciples would experience the sword. So, listen to this. The sword Jesus brings is not raised by Jesus and his disciples. It's raised by the enemies of Jesus. Jesus brought a sword in the sense that he brought a message to which people react by raising a sword. Jesus' entrance into this world did not bring universal peace to each and every individual. Jesus came to make peace with some. That's truth number one. Truth number two, the peace Jesus makes is different from the peace the world makes. The peace Jesus makes is different from the peace the world makes. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The world also makes peace, but it's different from the peace that Jesus makes. Significantly different than the peace Jesus gives. And I want to highlight two important ways that the peace the world gives is significantly different. One, the peace the world gives is fragile and short-lived, whereas the peace Jesus gives is eternal. Peace of the world is very fragile and short-lived. Think about World War I. Did it end all wars? Not at all, right? Not only did World War II occur, but other wars as well. Some of you here fought in those wars. You saw and you felt the lack of peace. After World War II, the United Nations was formally established to keep peace. Has it done so? The answer is yes and no. There have been some successes by the UN, but there have also been failures. You can find examples of both if you search for them on the internet. Here's one article I found. It's a CNN article from this past June called How UN Peacekeepers Failed South Sudan. The article explains that despite the heavy presence of UN peacekeepers, armed men, including soldiers in military uniforms, were able to enter a camp for displaced people and attack civilians, killing at least 30 people and setting ablaze several thousand shelters. So in spite of the heavy presence of the UN, there was that attack. They couldn't keep the peace. There have been successes by the UN, but there have also been these failures. The UN can't always keep peace. And even when the UN does make peace, the peace is not going to last forever. No matter what the world does, peace will not last forever. But the peace Jesus gives will last forever. Jesus is establishing a perfect kingdom of peace that will never end. That's a major difference between the peace that Jesus gives and the peace the world gives. And a second difference is this: to make peace, the world ignores and sometimes even banishes truth, whereas Jesus stands on the truth. The world ignores and even banishes the truth. Jesus stands on it, for Jesus is the truth. Think of the Dalai Lama quote with me. The Dalai Lama said, "When there is peace among the religions, there will be peace in the world." What would have to happen for all religions, to make peace? Answer: you have to either ignore truth claims or change them. You cannot have lasting, complete peace between different religions any other way. Truth either has to be ignored or abandoned. For instance, the Muslims believe Jesus is a prophet. We believe Jesus is God, the one who should be worshipped. Therefore, the two religions cannot enjoy complete peace unless that major difference is somehow ignored. I'm definitely for freedom of religion in our country. Please hear me say that. That's a good thing. I'm for freedom of religion in our country. However, let's be realistic and realize the religions will not enjoy complete peace unless truth claims are ignored or abandoned. And that is exactly what the world encourages. The world encourages peace that ignores the truth. Especially troublesome to the world is the truth that Jesus is the one and only way of salvation, no other way. The world wants that truth stifled for the sake of peace. That's the only kind of peace the world can make. And it's an extremely fragile peace. And therefore, it doesn't last. Let me read you a prophecy I think about often. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read about what this world will be like before Jesus comes again. He's coming again. Hallelujah, he's coming again. Here's what the world will be like before he does. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." before Jesus comes again, world peace be promoted, celebrated, peace, security. But it will not be true peace. It will be false peace, blind peace, a peace that ignores and banishes the truth. So, if you ever see all religions getting together, holding hands, and declaring peace and security, singing about it together while holding hands, don't think that's a good day. Rather, watch the clouds, because Jesus might be soon appearing. The peace the world gives ignores the truth. The world tells Christians things like, stop declaring that Jesus is the one and only way of salvation. Stop declaring what behaviors are sin, and start to celebrate everybody's beliefs, everybody's practices. Just celebrate them, and stop declaring that your God is different from our God. The world says, you know, let's just all hold hands and enjoy peace together. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen to what Jesus said when he was brought before Pontius Pilate hours before his crucifixion. In John chapter 18, we read, then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to what? To the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? In that dialogue, we see the difference between the world and Jesus. Jesus bears witness to the truth. Pilate, trying to sound wise, trying to sound philosophical, said, well, what is truth? Jesus stands on the truth. The world can't tolerate it, can't accept the truth. That is why Jesus said he brings a sword. And that, dear Christians, is why the beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, is followed by blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Remember, all the beatitudes flow together. We've seen that every single week. All these beatitudes flow together. Being the peacemaker flows right into being persecuted. When the truth is stated, stood on, held to, some will get angry and raise the